David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Advisor. I am co-host of the show. My name is Lisa Urbanski, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. I've just been talking to our guest, and we're chuckling and we're laughing, and he is so knowledgeable. He's been around in the industry of entrepreneurship for a really long time. So I'm about to welcome Mr. Don Lazzari to the show. Now, Don is the president of Delivering Value, and he's the author of Entrepreneurs' Sales Secrets Revealed. We all need to know these secrets. I'm going to have him introduce himself more right away. But what we're going to be talking about today is something that so many people are going to get value from. And I'm so excited to talk to him about it. How to be successful when you are the only salesperson. Don, welcome to the show.
Thanks. A pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Amazing. Where are you coming in from?
Metro New Orleans.
Metro New Orleans. Amazing. Amazing. So you're in the States and I'm in Canada, and we're about to have a powerful conversation.
No question.
Awesome.
Canadians, despite what goes on in the White House, Canadians are our friends.
Thank you. Thank you. Am I supposed to say thank you to that?
No, not at all.
Oh my gosh. So tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I spent a career selling technology, different types of technologies in a variety of different markets, pretty much all over North America and Europe. And
wow.
15 years ago, I decided to start my own business because of a bad experience with private equity, getting involved with a company that I was part of at the time. So okay. I started a consulting business to help entrepreneurs grow through getting better sales performance. And
wow.
After 15 years of that, working with more than 50 different companies over time, and our engagements tend to be longer. They tend to be anywhere from 6 to 9 months and beyond. It became apparent that a lot of the preconceptions, misconceptions, and perspectives that entrepreneurs bring to the equation when they start a business, there was a lot of similarities across entrepreneurs and across markets. So
yeah.
I decided to write a book about it, to share those experiences and really to provide a curated version of what an entrepreneur needs to be armed with when it comes to being savvy about sales. This isn't a book about funding. It's not a book about how to get investors. It's a book about how to grow by sales excellence. So it's not
wow.
sales training. It's how to understand fundamentals so that you can have a team that performs.
I love that. And I wish I would have had your book like 2 years ago, because that could have like pieced a lot of things together. Amazing. I want to ask you something. Why don't you tell us the difference between telling and selling?
Sure. The beginning of the book starts with, as you mentioned, the solopreneur. So what do you do when you're the only person selling stuff? Colonel Sanders sold fried chicken out of his gas station. The founder of Nike sold tennis shoes out of his trunk. Everyone begins, you're in sales, like it or not. No matter how brilliant a technologist or a business person you are, you're in sales. So the first lesson for anyone that wants to understand sales excellence is, if someone asks you, so Lisa, tell me, what does your product do? Most people will respond, well, our product applies advanced analytics to be able to do blah, 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 blah. And that's telling. That's relaying information. Selling is relaying information in a way to both persuade and motivate the listener to act. So if I were selling a product and they'd say, what does your product do? I wouldn't answer with how it works. I'd answer with, well, I just did some work with company ABC, and they got 20% upside in their customer service scores, or they were able to take 10% off of their inventory carrying costs. And then I would say the reason why the product actually did that. But
right.
Clients want to hear about what the benefit is to them, and more importantly, couched in the terms of what you've done for others, because almost no one wants to be first. So that's a way of going about it. There is a big difference between telling and selling. And anytime I start with a client, that's the first place we start. What are you saying? How are you saying?
People really want to relate, right? That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. People want to relate to something, and then they want to know how it's going to benefit them based on the things that they need. And so what you're saying is so important to understand that. So yeah, there is a huge difference there between telling and selling.
Sure. You want them to ask, so how does it do that? You don't want to explain to them how it works, right? You want to put forth the benefit and allow them to ask you, well, explain to me how you do that. So then you've anchored that benefit in their mind.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Have you sold a lot of things, Don?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Many things.
Many, many things.
Many things.
Do you want to talk about a specific
almost,
product?
Let's see, how many years? 25 years on airplanes and in front of clients continuously. So,
okay,
yes.
Okay, amazing.
Yes.
Wow. So you've got the experience, that's for sure. So what about the difference between company-centric versus client-centric? Those are two terms that you talk about in your book.
Mm-hmm.
And outline, and I would just like to know, our listeners want to know more about the difference between those two terms, company-centric and client-centric.
Sure. Well, overwhelming majority of organizations out there speak about things from their company's point of view. So when they're writing an email to someone, they'll say, and I'll use one of my clients just to pick on them. ChemDAC is able to provide, you know, these sorts of things when it comes to sensing harmful gases in sterilization environments. And we, ChemDAC, it's all about the company. Everything's spoken from the company's point of view. And if you want to be a little more persuasive, and if you want to, in a very subtle way, make people understand what it is that you're trying to do to help them and to trust you, then you've got to put that in a different fashion. You've basically got to come along the lines of, other companies like you have seen these benefits and you can enjoy the same thing. And then you can say, and you know, we do that here at Delivering Value by whatever the case may be. But you want to always speak from the customer's point of view. What's the customer thinking? What's their perspective? I had a gentleman do a seminar way back when, 25 years ago, when I worked for Rockwell Automation, where he basically said, you need to take the I and the we and convert it into you. And that's the difference. You've got to take, when you write something and you write it from your company's perspective, come back and look at that and then say, all right, how do I switch that around? So instead of me saying I and we're saying you. So it's a small distinction, but when you really begin to think about it, it can be very powerful.
That's the word that came to mind, is the power in that, is the relating it to your customer. And so I love that.
It's worked.
Yeah. Well, you've got the experience, right?
Sure.
So in your book has this concept of finding your big three. So what is the big three when it comes to messaging? Tell me more about this. What is the big three?
Sure. Well, and let's use selling technology as an example.
Please.
Typically,
please.
If I see a solopreneur in front of prospective customers, they tend to just deluge them with a potpourri of features. Mm-hmm. This product has advanced AI that does X, Y, and Z. And it's cloud-based, right. And that means, and you basically present them with 10, 15 different capabilities of what a product can do. Well, when you really look at the way people retain information after they've had a discussion or been in a sales presentation, Just 1 hour later, they only remember 50%. 1 hour.
Wow.
And then you get a few days later and they only remember key points. And you go out a few more days and all they really remember are headlines. So it's very important to say, what do I need to do to take all of these benefits and shrink them down into three main things? And let me give you a great example.
Please.
Back in the 2000s, I did some work for a company that was selling speech recognition technologies into senior care. And it benefited them in a number of different ways. It was a highly functional, very complex product. But we were able to get the way we talked about that product down to three things. Better documentation, better reimbursement, better care. And we use that like a refrain in music, like the chorus.
Right.
And if you do that, anytime we would talk about it, we would bolt up into that. So here's how you get better care, because you can do 1, 2, 3, 4, but you always go back to those three main things. The companies that are able to get their stuff down to three main benefits make it a lot easier for their clients to understand what it is that they're bringing to the table. And so you should spend a lot of time. We actually go into exercises in the book. So it's not just a book you read. You can actually go online and get exercises to have you go through the process of determining what should your big three be. And it's not just you just cook it up over a cup of coffee. You know, there's a process to it. You think about your stakeholders. What are their business problems? What are the benefits they're going to see? Where are the overlaps? And after a while, you take that mash, so to speak, and make it into whiskey. You just keep distilling it until you're down to just minimal words. We could tell a big story about a very complex product with just 6 words.
Yeah.
And that you need to get to that level of elegance, because then everyone understands it. And then what you do is you repeat it endlessly. Don't try to get clever with it. Keep it that way. So when people walk by, if they see you at a conference or something, they point at you and go, hey, better documentation, better reimbursement, better care, right? That's where you want to get. And most companies don't go there. They make their clients connect the dots. Mm-hmm. And you want the dots for them.
I love that. It's like simplifying things. I know two things. One, I'm thirsty now because you're talking about a really good whiskey. And two, you need to simplify things. And you're so right. Like when someone's talking to me about a product and they're like just spewing information, it's just going over my head, right? You need to know key things. I sure. love that. The big three. I'm going to use that.
Good. Feel free to steal it.
I also love that your book is interactive in that way, and the way it's going to get solopreneurs and people in the business world thinking about what they need to zone in on, because there's so many things. But if you're clear on the three things, like you talk about, I love that, that people recognize your brand and they say, these are the three things.
Exactly.
So, wow.
And if you can't get it to three, you're not trying hard enough.
Oh, okay. So we're challenged. I love that. You're giving our listeners a challenge.
Because remember from Schoolhouse Rock, three is the magic number, right?
Three is the magic number. I
That's
love
right.
that.
That's right.
Okay, Don, I'm just all with the questions for you today. I have another question.
Sure.
And this one's interesting. So what is the who cares test? Who cares?
Sure. Right.
Who cares? What is
right.
that?
So
tell everybody what that is.
So when you've come up with your preliminary big three, when you come up with what they are, you should play the game of let's use our example that we've been going with. Better reimbursement. Who cares? Well, the people who care are the owners. The people who care are the clinical leaders. The people who care are the ones that have to fund what's going on there. So there are plenty of people that care about that, right? And if someone says, you know, well, part of my big three is that we have advanced AI. Well, who cares? Everyone has advanced AI. What does that advanced AI do for me? So you've right. really got to be very skeptical about what your big three is and test it. And the who cares test is the way to do that. If you can answer who cares and the reasons why, then you've got something.
So zoning in on the people that you want to target and how it's going to influence them. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And
Okay, so if I'm talking about
anyone in the senior care industry, they definitely want better documentation, they definitely want reimbursement, and they definitely want better care. So any of the answers to those three things in that instance are, who cares? Well, we do. All of us do in this organization. And if you really think about the benefits of what you're doing, you can get it down to that. I mean, I challenge anyone out there to do to not be able to get it to three. You can get it there. I don't care how complex it is. And I've used that well before I wrote the book. I've been big on that principle for decades. Because it works.
What is the last step? What if I have five things? Like, what are some tips for people who are trying to get it down to three? And they're at six. Like, what if they think like, this is absolutely it? There's no way I can do that. Like, so how do you get through that mental block and say there is a way and this is how?
What's most important to the people that you've talked to so far? And also keep in mind that once you get your big three, your 1.0 version, so to speak, test it with some people. Adjust it if you have to. Adjust the way you talk about it. You might not get it right from the beginning, but the only proof in the pudding is going to be talking to your prospective customers. But, you know, like I said, I've worked for companies with very complex products, and there's no reason why you can't get it to three. So if someone's saying I'm stuck at five, I would say you're not thinking hard enough, or two of those aren't as important to your clients as three of them are. So find the three that are most important and let the other two become supporting cast.
Yeah, I love that. Testing your market, getting to know what your clients want and need, and that's supporting them.
Sales messaging and marketing messaging is ever evolving. You shouldn't change it all the time, but you should be always thinking about, you know, what you just said and how you can potentially say it better. That doesn't mean an overhaul. That means little incremental adjustments to just streamline it, use better words, you know, whatever the case may be.
Right. This is a great segue into the competitor aspect of things. So should we consider what our competitors are saying?
Yes. And that's really the last part to getting your messaging right. So you're going to try to understand all the benefits that you do for folks. You're going to want to distill that down into your big three. You're going to want to put that into the who cares tank and test it.
Okay.
And see what people are thinking. And another way to do that is, if I'm a prospective customer, to be like, to what extent is that most important to you? Now ask your clients, they'll tell you. And then once you get to something where you're like, boy, I really think I'm onto something, then go out there and see what your competition's saying and sharpen it to the point where you are clearly differentiating from the people who are out there.
Can you give us an example?
A good example of that would be, let me think of a good current example. A great example of that would be a company that I just did work for a couple of years ago. And what they were doing was they were selling online proctoring to universities.
Okay.
And they had some things that they did both from a customer service standpoint and from a product standpoint that were rather special. But if you held it up to the light of their competition, the way they were articulating it wasn't very compelling. So when you're considering what you're saying, you've also got to consider that your prospects aren't only talking to you, they're talking to others.
Right.
And so you've got to reposition that in such a way that you can't say, well, we're the only company out there that does this, because chances are you're only going to be able to sustain that for so long.
Yeah, before someone calls you out.
Well, not only that, or before your competition catches you, right? And if you're in a competitive market, that means you're making money. And if you're in a competitive market, everyone's paying attention, especially your competition.
Right.
So you don't want to come out with big three that doesn't differentiate you. And this company was able to do that. They were able to basically say that, we serve students in a way that others don't. We serve professors in a way that others don't. And they were able to state it in such a way that it made them different from the crowd, so to speak. So you've always got to look at that. Even in markets that are, not very differentiated, you still should be able to find some kind of a leverage point.
So how important is like standing out and being different in all of this? Like, there's so much competition out there. How important is that? Or is it more important in your opinion, and your experience to, remain with your big three, keep consistent, connect with your market? But what about individuality and standing out as being different? Do you feel like that's an important aspect of sales?
I think that your differentiation has to be more in the way that you engage with the client and talk about the value you deliver than it
Mm.
does with being clever with words.
Okay, so keeping it simple is what I'm hearing from you.
Keep it simple, keep it distilled, keep it elegant, right? There's a
Oh,
big
okay.
difference between simple and elegant, right?
Yeah, simple. Exactly. You got it. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Amazing. That's so cool. So you have so much experience. And so how do you keep the big three sticking? Like, what do you do? How do you make them stick? Is that
Well,
just talking about repetitive, being repetitive, being consistent?
sure. Well, there's a mnemonic that we teach clients, which is called SAVER,
Favor.
SAVER, SAVER,
Okay.
SAVER, right? The first part is stories. If anyone asks you a question, don't answer it. Our product does XYZ. Answer it in when we did work for Rockwell Automation, they saw X, Y, and Z.
Ooh, I
So
like that.
tell stories, just don't relay information. This gets back to our earlier point. There's a big difference between telling and selling. And there was a book that was written decades ago now, called Heavy Hitter Selling. This guy went around and followed high-performing salespeople to figure out what it was that made them high performers. And one of his fundamental principles is heavy hitters sell using vignettes. They tell customer stories. And they use that as a way to relate information. So you should always have a library of customer successes. They're worth their weight in gold. And for the solopreneur that's paying attention right now, you need to start doing that from the very beginning. Every time you close a new deal, you should say, how can I turn this into a reference account? And how can I turn this into a good story that I can tell? So next is analogies. If you have a complex product, people are much better with understanding analogies than they are in just talking through it. It's almost like we used an analogy at the beginning of this conversation. Well, what you've got to do is you've got to take your mash and turn it into whiskey. A lot of people understand that process, right? Next on that is visuals. Most people are visual thinkers. To the extent that you can, use visuals to help tell your story. The whole idea of an infographic or something like that is really not a bad idea. Or, way back when I did work with a company that did these things called fog lifters, which were ways in a single image to get across how something might work. Visuals are very,
Interesting.
very powerful. Most people are visual thinkers and processors. Also, you've got to use examples. In addition to telling stories, you've got to give an example of, well, yes, we had a client that ran across that, and here's an example of what we did to help them solve that problem. And then the R is the most important part, which is repetition. I've always been a big fan of Winston Churchill because I like speaking in front of crowds. And he was felt to be one of the greatest orators of the 20th century. And he, part of his philosophy when it came to being an orator was if you have a main point, don't be subtle about it. Make it. And then come back and make it again. And he even says one of his quotes is somewhere along the lines of, and then come back a third time with a mighty whack. And the best speakers come back to that. They come back to that. They repeat, they repeat, they repeat. There used to be a term back in the 2000s of people that were in marketing, and their title was evangelist. And that was actually a good title, which is, it's your job to go out there and spread the gospel. And as a solopreneur, that's what you're doing. You're spreading the gospel. And
right.
how do people spread the gospel? They repeat it. They repeat it. They repeat it. How many times do you see John 3:16 in the end zone of a football game? Right? It's the same things over and over and over again, because it takes a while for things to stick. And you've got to repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. So
yeah,
you got a good refrain. Yeah.
Savor. Okay. Savor. Yeah, I got it. Savor. I got
yeah.
it. Wow, so amazing. Yeah, like you talked about that repetitive. I know when I see something once, it gets my attention. I see it again. I'm like, oh, I saw that. I see it again and again and again. And then I'm like, what is this? Right? Then I'm like, okay, I keep seeing it. There's got to be a reason I'm seeing this again and again. And then I want to know more. So, yeah.
Right.
Cool.
And you think about what you see on television, how they repeat things endlessly. How about Liberty Mutual?
Oh, right? Well, you're in the
how
States.
About, how
I don't
about
know.
Geico? They repeat things over and over and over. And there's a reason why they do that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Nike said, just do it. I say that all the time. When I hear that term, I think of Nike every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Hey, why don't you tell the listeners about the services that you provide?
Sure.
So they have like a better understanding of that. Because you're
Certainly.
So knowledgeable.
Sure. Well, obviously, we can go to deliveringvalue.com. And three main things as far as the way we deliver value for clients. One is doing one-on-one coaching. And I don't mean sales training. I mean one-on-one deal coaching. Where are you in this deal? Who's involved? What are you doing for a next step? Have you checked all the boxes? All the things that have to do with making sure you haven't missed anything along the way in order to turn the table in your favor when it comes to a sale.
Mm-hmm.
We do that. We do one-on-one sales coaching. We do fractional sales management, which is for smaller companies. If you only have three or four salespeople, you really don't need a full-time sales manager. And until you've really got six or seven salespeople, it's really not a full-time job managing them. And you've got to question whether or not, going on sales calls with your reps has value. You got to question whether or not you've hired the right people if you need to go out and make calls with them, or whether or not you've trained them properly.
Right.
So we'll do that. I'm working with three companies right now where we do their Monday sales call. So everyone's on it. We set up CRM so that Salesforce or whatever, HubSpot, is reflecting the pipeline information in the sales performance dashboard using sales vital signs, which is a concept that we've got, which is ways to look at the performance of your sales engine from top to bottom, from beginning of interest all the way to close. Piece number three gets down to tuning in your message. And often this will be done as part of one engagement, but sometimes folks will come in and say, hey, we need to tighten our message. And so we'll help them with that. And we don't come in and do something like an ad agency would do or something like that. We're really looking at specifically, what are you doing to gather together your successes and present them in a compelling way that you get orders. You package up those three things, and that's normally a bulk of what we do for clients.
Wow. Can you repeat your website again for everyone in case they missed
it? Yeah. Deliveringvalue.com.
Deliveringvalue.com.
Correct.
Awesome. It sounds like you do a lot of individual work and you really work with people to see what they need. That's really important work.
Yeah, to put it all in just kind of a quick summary, we help CEOs who want to get out of the day-to-day business of selling, or who want to scale their company by adding more people that are good, or who want to grow because they know if they pay attention to their sales vital signs, do I have enough coming in interest? Am I moving enough value into my active sales pipeline? Am I closing enough to win? That's really what we do. We help CEOs grow by allowing them to spend less time paying attention to this and more time paying attention to other things, strategy. What do I need to be doing with other parts of my business? Because an entrepreneur, if they're not careful, they can be consumed by sales and then other parts of the business suffer. So what we're doing is really offloading that from the CEO. And to use an example of one of my current clients, who's a medical imaging dealer, you know, the CEO comes to the Monday sales call and gets a full briefing on what's in this on the forecast based on the one-on-ones we did the week before, where certain deals stand, what we've won, what we've lost, what's being new created. So in 30 to 45 minutes, that CEO is completely briefed on everything that's going on with sales.
Okay.
So therefore, they don't have to be down into the business of worrying about that. And clearly it's worked because for 15 years, we continue to get clients.
Wow. I love that, though. I love what you said about helping CEOs win.
Sure. Sure.
That's awesome.
A lot of CEOs are very good at business or technology or concepts or inventing, but a lot of them would tell you sales isn't necessarily a core competency. And that's the core competency that we bring to the table.
That's where you guys come in. I love that.
Right.
So do you want to show everyone your book? Do you want to hold up your book?
Sure.
So this is
Entrepreneur's Sales Secrets Revealed.
Beautiful, yes, beautiful.
You can get it off of my website, deliveringvalue.com. Of course, you can go to Amazon. It's out there. Quick read, 150 pages. And as we've already said, especially in part one, which is what to do when you're the only salesperson, lots of supporting exercises and things that we talk about in the book that you can then go out and use to do the things we're telling you to do. And then in other instances, there are templates and examples for part one and part two. For example, an example of a performance improvement plan or an example of a good compensation plan. And all of those things are there.
Wow, amazing. Well, this has been so fun. I know you're coming back to do another show real soon on the next episode. What are we going to talk about on the next episode?
Next episode, we are going to be talking about business and sales. I'm sorry, sales fundamentals that an entrepreneur can't live without. So what this is cherry picking the best gems out of sales training and just personal experience. So we go into some basics of how to understand whether or not you really have an opportunity, you know, when to hit the gas and when not to hit the gas in an opportunity. And some of those fundamentals, talk about consensus selling, talk about power mapping. So the next session really will get down a little bit more into the fundamentals of sales and the things that you need to understand and have people that are frankly better at you at doing it on your team.
Well, I'm excited for it.
So, well, I'm always excited to talk about it. So it'll be easy.
Amazing. Well, it's been so much fun today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure, enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was awesome. So Don Lazari, everyone, and he's going to be doing episodes on our podcast on his own series over the next coming weeks. And as you can tell, he's so knowledgeable in the sales entrepreneurial world. So today was so fun. Thanks again, Don, for being on the show today. And I really look forward to next time. And to everyone else, have a good night and be well.